It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
In just a few moments, we're going to be looking once again about the fruit of the Spirit. Well, did you know that the Holy Spirit is our friend? And in John chapter 16 and verse 13, Jesus says this, and he's speaking to his disciples, and he's speaking to us today through his word. It says there, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." The Holy Spirit is our friend. And he's not only our friend, he is our comforter. He's our comforter, if you've been born again. Now, if you've never been born again, he's your friend, because he wants you to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He wants you to know that Jesus came into the world to seek and to save those who were lost. And if you've never trusted him, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ and made sure of heaven, then you need to do that. And then you too can, just like I and so many other people, can say, the Holy Spirit is my leader. He is my comforter. When we have things come into our lives that we can't explain, that gives us a rough time, we can go to the Lord in prayer, and the Holy Spirit will comfort us. He'll help us through these difficult times. Don't get me wrong. The Christian life is the best life that there ever was, but we still have problems. And that's something that each one of us needs to understand, that problems do come because we're still in this world, we're still in this flesh. But there's no greater life than knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And once again, if you've never trusted him, you need to do that today. You need to do it while you're listening to this program. You need to ask him, "Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I receive you as Lord and Savior." If you'll trust the Lord, and if you'll get serious with him, he'll get serious with you. And you need to make sure of heaven today. Now let's go into our lesson today, lesson number 3, about the fruit of the Spirit. In recent days, we've been studying about the local church. Now, we talked about how that people are born again. That means that they've trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. They're sorry for their sin. They ask Jesus to come into their heart. And as a result, the Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And if you've done that, if you've asked Jesus to save you, then you are a child of God. I encourage you, as a child of God, to get into a good Bible-believing, Bible-preaching local church, a church that stands upon the Word of God. Now, if you do not have a local church, or you do not have one close by, or, you know, I always say that you don't go to the church of your choice. As a human being, we often choose the wrong things, the wrong church, and a lot of times we need to go into the Scriptures and find out what that church is teaching. When we find a church, we need to compare that church to the Word of God, the preaching that goes on there, see if it's coming from the Word of God. Now, I've often said this, when you find a local church, you need to realize that God has placed certain individuals within that local body to do the job. And as we've been looking, once again, we've studied about the local church, but now we're looking at the fruit of the Spirit. And so many people are confused as to what the fruit of the Spirit is. Now, in the body of Christ, there are many diversities of gifts, and we're not talking about the gifts of the Spirit now, and I'm going to read about that in just a moment. Now, in the Scripture that we've been looking at, in the Scriptures, we've looked at the fruit of the Spirit in these past sessions that we've been in, and it says in Matthew 7:20, "Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them." But I want to carry that thought on just a little further here. If you see apples hanging on a tree, and we talked about this last time, if you see apples hanging on a tree, you can be sure it is an apple tree. If you see a vine-like plant growing in your garden, you may not recognize it, but once you see a watermelon growing on the vine, then identification of the plant's easy. And if you see tomatoes hanging on a plant, you can be sure it is a tomato plant. Well, the genuine fruit of the Spirit, when it's manifested, you can be sure that the Spirit of God is working in that person. And sometimes the question is asked, how can a person give evidence of the fact that the Spirit of God dwells within? Well, I believe the greatest evidence and the greatest proof is not that the person speaks in tongues, as some believe, or has had some emotional experience. I believe the greatest evidence is fruit. Now, once again, do not get confused and think that the fruit of the Spirit is the same as the gifts of the Spirit. And we'll discuss that later on in another study. But Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." And I believe the largest growing denomination in the world today is the First Church of the Ignorant Brethren. And the Bible says that we're not to be ignorant. Well, you say, well, that's being pretty unkind of you, of saying that people are ignorant. Well, not really, because ignorant doesn't mean that a person is really dumb or what you might think of. It simply means that people need to study the Word of God so that they will not be ignorant. Paul says, I would not have you to be ignorant. Well, in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, it says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That's how each of us, we become, if I would use the term, unignorant. We study the Word of God. In verse 17 of 2 Timothy 3, it says that this is the reason that we study, that the man of God, and that means the woman as well, that the man of God may be perfect, truly or thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Well, Paul, once again, back in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he says he does not want us to be ignorant. And of course, this is written under the inspiration of God, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The Lord does not want us to be ignorant concerning the things that he has for us as Christians. Verse 2 of 2 Corinthians 12 says, you know that you were Gentiles carried away. And this word Gentile here means unsaved. You were once unsaved, carried away unto these dumb idols. That means worshiping something that is not a real God, worshiping someone or something that can do nothing for you, that cannot take you to heaven as Jesus can. But he says, you were carried away with these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaketh, or speaking by the Spirit of God, calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. In other words, the Bible says that we call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. And Paul the Apostle, once again, in Acts chapter 9, he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me do? And this was on the road to Damascus. You remember, if you've studied the Word of God, and I pray that you have studied and you are studying, if you go back and read Acts chapter 9, you see that Paul the Apostle met the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus that day. You say, well, I thought Jesus was crucified and buried and resurrected and went back to heaven. He did. He's alive today. But I have you know that he appeared to Paul on that road to Damascus, and Paul said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And that's the way you and I, as children of God, that's what we've in essence have done when we come to that saving knowledge. We came to that saving knowledge realizing that he is Lord and that we are to devote ourselves to him. And when we start realizing that, even as a saved person, that Jesus is Lord, he's the Lord of our lives, then I believe that we will be able to serve him more completely in this life. Well, Paul the Apostle says that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit convicts hearts. The Holy Spirit deals with a person's heart, and they realize they're lost and they need a Savior. And prayerfully, they receive Jesus as Savior. And then after a person gets saved, the Holy Spirit still deals with that individual. The Holy Spirit deals with each of us and says, look, there's more to the Christian life than just simply getting saved and waiting around, waiting for the rapture or waiting to go home to be with the Lord. We're still here on this earth. And while we're here, we have work to do as the children of God. And Paul the Apostle is trying to get that across to us and through his writings and We're reading in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians where he does not want us to be ignorant, but he wants us to learn. And verse 4 of 1 Corinthians 12 says, "Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit." Now, once again, we're studying right now about the fruit of the Spirit, not the gifts of the Spirit. Now, I just want you to realize there's a difference in the fruit and the gifts. He says there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. Every human being that is named Jesus Christ the Savior has a gift from God, at least one spiritual gift. And we're not going to go into the naming of those spiritual gifts right now because we're going to study that later on. The gifts of the Spirit. And the gifts of the Spirit are given so that God can work in His local church to get the job done that He has for us to do. And remember, the job that He has for us to do as individuals is to tell others about Jesus, is to help other people come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And then help that new Christian, that person who is not grounded in the Word of God, to study the Word of God and work with them and uphold them in prayer. And just let them know that they're not alone. And as a Christian who is studying the Word of God, we need to let others know that by helping them learn the things of God. Now, I'm not saying that when you get saved and you study the Word of God, you're going to know everything, because we're still learning. I don't care how old we get. We still learn from the Word of God, and each of us need to study the Scriptures daily so that we can help our brothers and sisters in Christ and help that person who is unsaved to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus. Well, the fruit of the Spirit is the outward and visible evidence of that inner life and power and person that lives within, namely God the Holy Spirit. Now, the Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." Now, I would ask you to study and look at the Word of God until we get together the next time and we go through the Scriptures. And one of the verses that I want you to look at is Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. The word fruit is singular here. It does not say the fruits of the Spirit, even though there are 9 virtues listed in these verses. And we'll be studying those 9 virtues. We'll be looking at that to see what the 9 virtues of the Spirit consists of. Do you know Him today as your Savior? Have you trusted Jesus Christ? If you have not done that, you need to ask Him to come into your heart right now. "Lord, I'm sorry for my sin. Please save me so I can go to heaven and so I can serve You here while I'm here on this earth, Lord. Thank You, Lord, for saving my soul." And if you pray a prayer like that and mean it in your heart, the Bible says that you'll get saved, that you will be saved. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's a free gift, and God wants to give you that right now through His Son, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this time we've had together. May You use these words, not my words, but Your words from Your Scriptures, to deal with our hearts, to help us, Lord, to be increased in knowledge and to bless our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.